All right, well, welcome to episode 18 of the football pubcast, where everyone's a little bit rusty and dusty today, so we'll try and make this a reasonably interesting one. We've also got a cast of thousands here, like never before, so we'll quickly go around and get everyone to introduce themselves. Obviously, I'll go around.
I'm Pedro, and I'm...
Great Australian name.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be doing the food challenge, and I'm going to be talking about Portugal, I think, and other matters.
I'm Chris, Perth Glory, membership manager, back again after watching a thrilling and somewhat tense match last night, so flying back this afternoon.
Not as thrilling or as tense as your trip on the train up to Gosford.
No, that's
which
true.
Included a hospital visit.
Yes, it did. So.
I'll be talking about that later, I wonder about this. Yeah. So I'm not skipping over that one, sounds good.
So yeah, flying back to Perth tonight and then fly to Brisbane Saturday or Sunday for the grand final. Very excited.
A lot of time on plane.
Matty back again.
J-Mo's here.
Well, Steve from the Brian O'Barron Sports Club. Just a little bit shell shocked from last night's 6-0 thrashing at the hands of West Ham.
I'm Anne, a Glory supporter who's very excited. I've been in Sydney for about a year, but I'm still definitely a Perth girl. Went up the coast last night, very excited. Waited 6.5 years, 5 coaches, 70 losses. Or thereabouts for this time, so definitely we'll be in Brisbane on Sunday.
Okay, Lee here, pissed off when I put the agenda together for today, but I don't really care. Apart from that, everything's grand.
Here you go, John, dejected rabbit, and obviously fans is here as well.
Fantastic. So, straight over to you, Matt.
Yeah, I'm just going to put a few words together just now. I'm going to make it quite short and sharp, but obviously today here in Australia, and obviously when the clocks have changed, but when obviously people wake up tomorrow, it is the anniversary of the Hillsborough disaster, where 96 Liverpool fans died in Lockies Lane and at Sheffield Wednesday during a semi-final against Nottingham Forest. So last night we had a minute's silence before the game, and I was here with the Liverpool Sports Club, and Lee was over with us lot with the Everton Sports Club, and the minute silence was impeccably observed by both sets of fans, and which is obviously, you know, a great credit to everybody involved. It's such a sad day for the city. It's really great that in these days that, you know, people can still get together when it matters and respect those who've lost their lives and families. We also did a money raising coin donation last night on the door. I was on there for about probably 45 minutes, which was the rolls, but. Within my time of there, people were putting $2 in, they were putting $5 notes, $10 notes, which was absolutely fantastic. So that money's going to go to the Hillsborough Family Supporters Group, which we also raised just over $2,000 last time. So this will add to it, and hopefully, you know, that money can do some help in the fight for justice for 96.
Awesome.
Cool.
Alrighty, so I suppose we better talk A-League. Especially since we've got two Perth fans. Oh, before
why
that.
Are we going to talk A-League? I mean, anyone would think something's happening this week. It's just,
well, I've got to.
I mean, with the A-League, it's just not happening these days, is there?
Unless the club's going into administration. Not
on the back pages.
All right, does anyone want to start us off with talking about last night?
Yeah, well, let's go with Perth Glory.
I'm dejected, that's all I'm going to say.
Well, obviously, I'm ecstatic to ecstatic that we've gone this far. It's been not since 2004. We played against Parramatta Power in Parramatta and defeated them in the 99th minute with a Nicky Berger goal that we played in the grand final. So we flew in on Friday, then up on the train, well, partway up on the train at least.
Yo, go on, what happened on the train?
All right.
Because I just see you on Facebook going, oh, because you always check in at the gym every day.
Yes.
What's the gym called?
It's the ring, it's a boxing gym.
I've just checked in at the ring. And I always go, Chris has checked his ring in. It's not good. But then last night I seen you checked in at the hospital.
Yeah.
Why would you check in at the hospital?
I have no idea.
If I went to a hospital, I'd be like, I'm not checking in anyway. Go on.
All right.
It's to be social media for Perth Glory, though, isn't it?
Not anymore. That's the membership.
Oh, right. Things have changed.
Yeah. Keep checking in places.
I didn't actually want to get into this.
We'll talk about that offline.
I actually had an epileptic fit on the train.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Sorry, lad. thought you might cut your finger or something.
Yeah, no, I had an epileptic fit on the train on the one, and they.
Well, that ruins that topic.
Yeah. Yeah, we might cut this bit out.
No, but it's all good.
I'm staying in.
Anyway, yeah.
So I was held in hospital for 2.5 hours, and they wanted to be 4. I said, no, I'm going to pay $1,300 to sit in the hospital. Well, their flight's accommodation just to get over on such short notice,
yeah,
and to be able to do this today. I said, there's no way I'm sitting here and missing the game, so I'll be discharged from hospital, thank you very much. And so they discharged me against doctor's advice, and I met, and then $200 cab fare later.
From where?
From Ryan Hospital to Blue Tongue Stadium. I managed to get there having missed the first 30 seconds, so... So,
can you claim that back on expenses?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. No, I've been assured. I've been assured by the higher ups that they're more than happy to cover that. They're making it all that way. So, fly back tonight, then get through the week, and then we fly over in time for the game on Sunday. And
because you made the grand final against.
Made the grand final. It's been a while. It's been fantastic. It's fantastic. For
Matthew's a Central Coast fan.
No good. Mate, gutted. Pretty tense. Won all the way, and then. Yeah.
Penalties.
To be honest.
Oh, wait there. Can we just get to the penalties? Because we were watching this game before the semi final last night, and then Fox switched the coverage off in the pub.
Oh, it went to viewer's choice, didn't it?
Yeah.
But the pub didn't have viewer's choice. They all just stood there.
Straight into AFL.
Gone.
5 minutes. What's 5 minutes of an AFL game over.
What's the point of having an AFL channel if you're going to cut over the normal Fox Sports channel?
The Mariners, let's just say, have not been playing great for the past 6 or 7 weeks. They've been nowhere near as good as they were at the beginning of the season.
Can't get rid of all your best
players. Exactly. Yeah. And the players have been sold. The shocking Griffiths.
It's not the same team.
Griffiths was incredible. He's the best player in the league, Griffiths, and he's just
Simon.
He's looking the goals in. It's just it's a shame. It is a shame, and you've kind of got all the Central Coast Mariners fans who actually live up there in Gosford, and they're all like, we've won the minor premiership or whatever,
Premier's play.
Going, yeah, it's great, we're doing this.
I'm
like, it doesn't matter. No one remembers
you
with that.
Well, I thought the crowd was actually 12,500. I'll tell you where they got that off. Football Sack website, so we're in the Pete Lake set. But it was 7,500.
Official crowd attendance was 7,572, which is I agree.
That's just a demonstration. Of
Yeah, but like from the guys who were talking about it, they were saying a part of it is because of the finals tickets. They'd been paying a certain price throughout the whole season, and then it gets jacked up at finals time.
Oh, they got what?
Plus
they
got the
$15.
$15
last time Central Coast Mariners.
$15. And if they're going to run that line, and if the FFA's, if people are going to run that line, they've been paying for finals tickets, then explain how Perth managed to get 12 and then 13.5 for consecutive finals.
Keep in mind,
last weekend, Glory was competing against the Eagles, I think their first home game of the season, the Wildcats in a finals game, Cold Chisel and Easter. So that was all on, so with a week's notice, to get 13, Evan, Jesus Christ.
Here it comes.
The breakfast has arrived.
Wow. Excellent.
Whoa.
That's good.
That looks better than usual, actually. That looks really good.
And you got baked beans.
Do you have any sauce?
Yeah. Don't forget the sauce, mate. Yeah. Extra calories in that, you know.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll pass into that.
Yeah, so
just for the overseas listeners who may not be aware, the final series is actually administered by the FFA, and the money goes to the FFA to be redistributed, as opposed to the normal season, the premiership season, which is obviously controlled by the individual clubs. So the FFA put the prices up because the final series is supposed to be a marquee competition.
Only,
so
let's be real, it's their only way that they can get money
out of the A-League. Plus they're in the ACL, so they got another thing to pay for the Mariners fans.
But going on Anne's point, they're still claiming their cut of merchandise sales at the games. So Central Coast would have had 20% of the profits taken that they otherwise would have made to go back into FFA coffers, for to give you an example.
And we'll be talking about it later, but the whole arrangement, the whole financial arrangement and the revenue arrangement and the business model of the A-League is what's really getting up. And you would know Tony Sage has been talking about it for years. The model just doesn't give any incentive for the owners, and that's part of the reason why we've got this thing with Hunter Sports Group. And it's also part of the reason we've got all sorts of problems with the A-League at the moment. But getting back to the game, it was a bit of a dour affair at times.
Yeah, I that certainly was the case.
It wasn't a tense one. Because we're on the Liverpool pub crawl, so we were in pubs that were showing NRL and AFL, so we didn't get to see much of it at all. We were relying on Twitter
crawl?
Updates.
I only see you in Piedmont.
We went to five pubs in Piedmont.
Yeah,
that's
five pubs in Piedmont.
Did you come to Piedmont?
I was there. I was at the last three. Yeah. I didn't get it.
What are you guys thinking then against for the final? Rather than Hearts, we're talking Heads.
Yeah, no, I'm talking Heads. Like
at Brisbane with probably 30,000 to 40,000 fans, possibly 50.
And so also
31,000
already.
Also Brisbane with the fact that they're in a roll at the moment. They had that lull in the middle of the season, but over the last couple of weeks, I mean, that second goal last week with Mitch Nichols was Brisbane-esque.
Perth are on a roll as well, and
it's like a cup final when like these like championship teams, when they go in it for promotion, they have these playoffs, and someone gets a cup run, they come sixth or fifth, and they actually get through to the Premier League, and Perth are on a roll at the moment.
Because we say on a roll, they've got a special offer at Brisbane Royal Stadium, Oasis Soup.
Oh really?
Yeah, get a roll with it.
Oh, you are shocking.
You are, yeah.
He must have read that joke this morning.
That one coming.
J-Mo like that.
Yeah. I actually spoke to some of the fans last night.
Oh God, before I started laughing.
But yeah, talking about Oasis, I listened to Talk Sport. Eddie had Noel Gallagher on.
Oh gosh.
That was good.
It's better than Liam.
And he said to him, because he'd done the interview a few months ago with
Maribel,
and he said, right, we're going to bring it to today. If you do the interview again today, what's the first question you're going to ask me? How much did you pay that prostitute? And was she worth it? Yeah, anyway, I told her I wanted help.
And was he better than Rooney?
Well,
allegedly.
She did say he was better than Rooney.
I won't go into the full details, but yeah, there was...
But did you hear that interview? All Balotelli's going to do is go, no, it's not true.
He's admitted.
And then stab someone with a dart.
So what we were talking about, tips for the grand final.
Yeah. I've got to say Brisbane. Just don't want to say.
Well, I'm on glory.
Prediction. Tip. Who's your tip? Who's your prediction?
Well,
same thing.
I've always
thing.
Thought with Brisbane.
I've got two. I think 2-0 Brisbane.
Record. Brisbane 0, Schmelzy 3.
I like this guy. Well, I happen to know that all the cheap flights between Perth and Brisbane are gone.
Yeah.
Like the fans were. When I stopped by the Central Coast Leagues Club after the match, and there were a bunch of fans with their iPads and phones booking flights on the spot.
I didn't know you had internet in Perth.
It would be amazing if you
could. That's right.
Yeah, trust me, the internet was like,
oh,
right,
Newcastle,
are you
kidding me?
On.
Yeah, exactly.
Newcastle, you mean the first city in Australia outside of Sydney to get 4G? Yeah, okay.
Doesn't really matter, it's not a shithole.
Yeah. It's supposed to be Central Coast.
Yeah, Newcastle's actually pretty nice compared to Newcastle.
No.
Absolutely. But certainly there's going to be a big, large number of travelling fans going over the match from what I'm seeing and what's been discussed. So it'll be good to see all the fans roll in. I know they're going to roll into Caxton Street and get in amongst it.
Caxton's great, though. Yeah. Great.
I've been picking Perth Glory really on this podcast for the last couple of weeks. I haven't seen any reason to change it, so yeah, I'm tipping Perth.
Plus, Ange's leaving.
Well,
so
it's going to be his last game. Wow. That's
Is that rumours?
Next week. Next week. It's Sunday.
The World Game has put it out there, so it must be back.
Yeah.
It's definitely happening.
I believe everything that comes out of Craig Foster's
mouth. Why wouldn't he leave? I mean, I'm not being funny. Melbourne Victory.
Shambles.
Are the biggest club in the competition.
Who are shambles?
We'll get on to Newcastle Jets in a minute.
Thank you.
Melbourne Victory, regardless of what you say, are the biggest club in the whole A-League.
Yeah.
So nice they come money. Knocking on your door. Yeah. They're the only ones to ever turn a profit. The biggest membership in the league.
Yeah.
Biggest crowds in the league.
Yeah.
The most successful club in the league.
But hang on, would you want that headache? Would you want the headache of a shambles board, as he says, who can't figure out what the hell they're doing?
He's a Melbourne lad.
Who cares? You've got it sweet at Brisbane. You've got some Indonesians who are prepared.
And you've got to put up with Kevin Muscat over your shoulder.
Muscat's out the door.
Yeah,
he want
to
take
the Melbourne. He want to take
his whole coaching setup down to Melbourne if he's going.
Sell him.
Start
Harry,
again.
Harry Kuehl said you've got to give him a chance.
Harry Kuehl wants to.
I don't think Harry Kuehl either.
Well, he said he's coming back next year.
He's a waste of time.
He said he's coming back, but Ange is definitely going to go there. Okay. He's a Melbourne boy.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
His job.
Yeah. South Melbourne came out and said that they reckoned that more fans would go to Victory games if Ange was coaching Melbourne Victory, which I thought was an interesting statement.
Very interesting, mate.
Yeah. You're going very slow. And
yeah, I was just about to mention that, Lee. He's had one sausage, he's got just the bacon.
And half a hash brown.
How far in are we?
But anyway,
it's the worst effort I've seen, actually.
Yeah, in more positive A-League news.
More positive, yeah. Well pod cancer, well pod.
Straight into the Newcastle Jets, Fancy. I did text you the other day. And let's say, your response was non de plume, so to speak.
Yeah, it's been a pretty tough week. Liverpool's actually helped lighten the mood a little bit for me personally, but from about the middle of the week, it's been pretty terrible. I had to do a.
Well, why has it been terrible? You can't say it's terrible. Tell our listeners. Yeah. Our listener.
If I've had to read personal medical information, then you have to tell us why you've had a shit week.
So basically, what happened this week is Newcastle Jets went to the FFA and went, here's the cards, we're out.
You've got to differentiate it. I'm going to put the legal spin on it.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Right? I knew there was a reason I invited her.
At last, we've got some brains around the table. This is brilliant.
Hunter Sports Group. which has a license for the Newcastle Jets, mm-hmm. went to the FFA and said that they were handing it back. And then Ben Buckley did a doorstop interview saying, no, you can't hand it back because I break up with you first. that's what normally happens.
Oh, no, he's not allowing, them to break up.
You can't break up with me.
Yeah, you can't break up with me. We're not allowing it. We can break up with you, but you can't break up with us.
And in his statement he said, honesty, integrity, and loyalty, and I'm thinking, no shit, Ben, because you just cover yourself in glory with all that, though, because you've just carried it out over the last 18 months, North Queensland Fury, Gold Coast last week, brilliant, it's all right for you, sunshine.
And his grievances, the Hunter Sports Group, are basically in relation to the way the A-League is run, and the fact that they don't get any consultation between the owners and the league itself, and to illustrate it was the fact that a couple of weeks ago they had an owners forum with the CEOs, etc. in the FFA. They said, we want to bring in a Western Sydney team, all the owners, and said, no, take it slow, do a little bit of work, and then 3 days later they announced the Western Sydney.
Yeah, well, the owners said, we want a Western Sydney team in the competition, but it's got to be done slowly and it's got to be done correctly. And then 4 days later they launched Western Sydney. The whole thing is just,
they haven't learned, have they? Because they just see dollars?
No.
Because they had two guys that don't know anything about football come into the game with money bags, and now we've got the government handing more money in, and they go, right, now we put a Western Sydney team
in. The reason why the whole Clive Palmer and Nathan Tinkle thing's blown up in their faces is because they've got investors in A-League clubs that don't have a passion for football, so they don't have the tolerance that people who are football people are going to, there are people that are football people that are prepared to wear the losses, whinge, but they're not going to go, I'm sick of this crap, I'm leaving. They're going to stick in it for the long haul because they know it will turn around. Clive Palmer was never a football fan, he said that. Nathan Tinkler was always getting to the Jets so that he could combine it with the Knights and make it a sporting group in the Hunter. Hunter Sport Group, exactly right. So, yeah,
But that's the problem, non-football people, the FFA just see money.
Yeah, but on the other side of that, you've also...
What do you mean, see money? $27 million loss? Oh, bargain.
No. I mean, $2 billion, like, millionaire mining magnates coming into the game that don't know anything about football.
That's always.
And I thought Tinkler was doing a good job.
Yeah, he was.
I thought he had a good idea, and I think Clive's been in his ear.
I'm not going to criticise Nathan Tinkler for the job he's done, because he's poured $12 million into the Jets. We've been the most professional we've ever been in the entire time I've been supporting them. We've got the second highest membership base in the league. We've got the third highest crowds in the league. The FFA can't let it go. They can't let the club die. They're going to have to.
Well, what's your score? In a nutshell, what's going to happen?
In a nutshell, can't fall.
In a nutshell, the FFA
can't fold. Like Santa splits up your ex-bed and she's going go away. I'm going to ring the police.
No, but they can't let Newcastle let fold. That's it.
The FFA will take control of the club until another investor is found. And they will go and sue. I mean, look, my position at the end of the day is I agree with the problems and the issues that HSG have. I don't agree with them just shitting on over 10,000 fans in Newcastle and handing back the license. They
anyone fancy coming to this then? The Football Federation.
I don't even want to know about
the Clive Palmer one. I've been invited.
Really?
To Sydney one.
Is he flying you over to the Gold Coast?
Now he's coming to Sydney.
See, my issue with that.
Are you coming?
Not at the
just
moment.
Just to listen.
No, see, my issue with it is the whole idea we had the FFA was because we had so many different splinter groups within football and nobody was pulling the same way. I feel like even though I'm upset with the way the FFA is running the game, running the league, I don't think that's the way to be going, is splitting up the game once again.
To be devil's advocate, is
it
going
to... I'm going to listen, though. I'm not going to...
to be devil's advocate, but...
We flag to it.
Is the game going to survive under the FFA? It's great to say, just leave it in their hands. But the game's dying. The game's, you know, how many teams need to go? How many teams need to get managed? How big do the losses need to be? What's a TV deal that everyone's been worried about worth now?
I think the question is the game going to survive under Ben Buckley?
Yeah. It's not just Ben Buckley, but it's everybody in that. Everyone in that board. It's all the background stuff.
And they've he is the negotiator. That's why we had him.
Everyone's got... Ben Buckley is not another non-football person. Frank Lowy overseas?
Frank Lowe is in the Mediterranean at the moment. Yeah, has been for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. I would be getting cold in Sydney.
But there's got to be change at the top. There's got to be there's going to be some change with the FFA anyway, because according to the latest reports that I've read is that Lyle Gorman's going to be moved out of from being the head of the A-League to run the Western Sydney franchise, and Ken Edwards, who was the chief executive, who's brokering the deal when Nathan Tickle first came on board, which was part of the problem, but we won't go into that, is going to be put in to run the A-League.
Anyway, let's get more positive.
I was going to say, this is pretty serious.
I know. So what I put in is, the AFL Grand Final. And they've had Bon Jovi there, and they've had
Meatloaf.
Well, this year, what I reckon is, have we missed the beat here? One Direction. Should they not be at the Grand Final?
No.
I'll tell you what, I got a Twitch. I was watching him, and I watched it on Sunrise, and then I switched over to the Today Show. Like,
if there's one thing the A-League is missing, is 16-year-old girls.
Maybe you're a 15-year-old girl, but the rest of us...
I know you're pissed off this morning when you're raising this, but
one direction.
You're pissed as well.
But it's quite apt, because we've got no fucking direction at the minute. You know what I mean?
That was the whole setup.
It took a while for the punchline to come out, but we got there.
We need a sound effect in there.
What do we want to move on to next?
Let's move on.
Let's go straight to the FA. If we could have someone sing at the Grand Final, who would it be?
Andrea Cole.
Johnny. Funny question. No, but I checked the cause earlier. They're on a hiatus. They're on a hiatus since 2006 because Jim and Sharon are raising families.
I wish it was. You'd sneak him in the turkey baster, didn't you?
But who would you have? Johnny wants the course.
Powderfinger.
Oh, he just wants Andrew. Alright, you want Powderfinger?
Yeah, good Brisbane band.
Bright and Steve.
Fat boy, yeah.
Fat boy Slim. Oh, he'd smash it up.
Oh, yeah.
Aqua. They've already been out, they were awesome, by the way.
They were.
I've got some talk about
Hansel. I'd like to see.
Jamo, who would you want to see sing at the Grand Final?
Dead or Alive.
What was their song? What was the song?
It's
You spin me right round, baby, right round, like a rocket, baby, right round, right
like
round.
Like a record.
Like whatever. Yeah, but, you know, we used to make the words up anyway, didn't we?
No, it was like 20 words.
It's
just you. Like a rocket, baby.
But I always fucking thought people looked at me weird, especially when I sung the Bucks Fizz songs. I had a Bucks Fizz pencil box and pad. My brother had Adamant. I went Bucks Fizz Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl. It
was when Cheryl Baker took the skirt off and went. I didn't like the other one, she's been on the easy cow. She was Cheryl Baker.
You felt the connection, but you were looking at the you weren't just looking at the camera, you were actually looking at your
I hope all the new people weren't expecting like top class punditry. No, it's never gonna happen.
Chris, who would you like
more music? I've got one. You just nearly got
Aqua.
I want Jenny Marsden. Invisible.
How do you think I'm
Chris? Aqua, awesome.
Aqua. You're an Aqua.
Yeah. Barbie girl.
We brought them out a few weeks ago.
Yeah, no, I saw them in Perth.
What are you paid?
My company put that on.
Nice.
Yeah.
There
was no Glory Games that weekend.
Petro.
I want to see Silverchair in Newcastle Jets jerseys.
I'll go with that. Thank you.
All I want to say is it's got to be rock and roll or something like that. I'm very sick of watching sporting events like the Super Bowl and having Madonna.
We've got the white flag over here.
White flag.
Is it's
white flag.
Wow.
White flag already.
He's got through about, what, 40%?
Oh, it's that.
No, you're not counting the beats.
Oh, not counting the beats. Well, no one counts the beats.
I've never counted the beats before.
What a name like Petro.
True Aussie boy.
He's never going to
do it. Just throw that out there.
He's what?
Yoga for breakfast.
Try doing yoga, son.
All right, excellent. Next. Let's go to the FA. Let's talk some football.
Hey, what's this about Palmer and Bundy?
Oh, no, yeah. I went on to Pat Clive Palmer just to lighten the mood. We'll have to tell everyone that we're going to lighten
Wiki
the mood. According to Wiki, Clive Palmer was born in Victoria and lived in Pennsylvania, where his father had a private movie theatre and used to invite his neighbours to watch the latest movies. What the? Is that about? What sort of movies are we watching there? Get round, throw your keys in the basket.
All right.
You can all have a bit of Mrs. Palmer.
It's all allegedly.
That's where the name Parmigiana come from.
That's almost as bad as your double pay spread of Pippa Middleton and Jose Mourinho in February.
Hey?
Madam Palmer. Five sisters.
All right.
Okay. Anyways. That's really happy we touched on that now. Okay, to the FA, can we talk football again?
Yeah, back at Chelsea, got the right after the cup game last night, it was at 12 o'clock, which all the scouts were blowing up because it was at 12 o'clock, 12 days kickoff in the UK. So they all had to fly down the M6, M1, had a few battles along the way, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a ridiculous time to start it at half 12. But then tonight, Chelsea have got a kick off at 6 o'clock UK time. Mm. Yet they've got Barcelona in the week. And then they've approached the FA and said, you know, can you move the kick off? No, 6 p.m. What's going on? It's well out of order. It's totally wrong. You should have helped Chelsea out a little bit. Well, maybe it's at 3 o'clock or 12:30.
Anyone except Man United.
Yeah, but the FA knows what everyone else knows. They've got no chance, so why bother?
I actually think Chelsea have got a chance in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm done.
Barcelona, you ready?
Hey, what have they done?
If they do make a joint chair, we'll stuff it up again. So.
No, but it's. Yeah, no, do you not think it's out of order?
I don't think it's going to be as easy as I think Barcelona
would do. Wouldn't you like a bit more preparation?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, but the difference is also, like, Barca have got an El Clasico in the middle of the two games. So what's the difference there?
Recuperation time.
In fact...
I like that you brought her along.
Yeah.
Who
knows
all this stuff about...
They could have played the game on Saturday or earlier in the day, so it gives them more recuperation time in between the games.
Yeah, but... Barcelona is going to play a Clasico probably on a Saturday.
On the 22nd.
And again, they're still going to have to turn around and play again on the Tuesday.
Yeah, we're not playing at 6 o'clock
what's
on
the difference
a Sunday.
It's an extra day.
2 days.
Yeah. But the difference is your league should be taken care of, your team.
In the Champions League.
So if they go play that game, that's fine. The English league should be going, look, all right, work a little bit here, work a little bit for TV, so that our team's the one who's going in fresher and making the bigger.
I think the problem with the English, English league is so commercial.
Is it an FA decision or is it a Sky decision?
No, it definitely is. Because in Portugal, I know they move matches around, as an example.
Portuguese football.
Exactly. That's why they can move games around.
Tell me about Portugal. You need a Pedro. You failed. But what's happening in Portugal?
No, well, they're
broke.
Well, we had the league cup final overnight, so that was.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
who won
did.
That?
Benfica did.
Don't know shit. I thought you were going to say Benfica or Sporting Lisbon. Who was it against?
There's no name thing. So Gil Vicente. So.
Where are they from?
Up north somewhere. We don't even know.
You don't know.
We don't even know.
We got the biggest Portuguese sports fan right here.
Like, yeah, Middlesbrough.
Oh, it's between Porto and Lisbon, somewhere in there.
Oh, I bet they get loads of fans then.
Oh, yeah. Johnny's got something to say.
Whilst on the subject of Portuguese football, Parramatta just scores 18-16.
See, and that's why we can move our games around for Champions League.
Speaking of those cups, I actually read during the week that some French amateur side has made the French Cup final.
That is true.
Yeah, Courvenay against Arca.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So imagine, into that.
Yes. I can't remember who. Do you remember who's? I can't remember who the League One side they're playing is, but
Paris Saint-Germain, Lyon, Lille,
Rennes,
an amateur side.
Yeah,
and that's what
we're like the FFA Cup,
and that is what the A League.
We talked about.
No, they said this with the FFA Cup, and they promised us that it would happen last year, and it's still not happening. We've still not got an FFA Cup, so they're talking through their ass, and that's why I'm going for that inquiry, just to listen. But they're talking through their ass. Promised us twice last year. I stood there. Lyle Gorman said to me, right in front of me, me to you, fans. We'll have an FFA Cup next year. Where is it?
Well, remember the latest government report, the Smith Review, basically recommended that they do start again because they need to consolidate.
And everything that's happened.
Losing clubs
since
at 5 cents at the moment, it's listed like that. Yeah. You can't bring in a new initiative, can you?
I think one of the problems we haven't really accounted for is the fact that we've got state and territory divisions, which are all full of football people. We've got the clubs full of the lower, and I'm not talking about the A-League clubs, I'm talking about the lower, like your state league clubs, all have various personalities, all have their personalities, which causes...
When we say personalities with the state league clubs, you mean corrupt personalities as well?
Well, I would say ethnic divisions probably.
Who are taking a shitload of money out of it as well.
I don't say that specifically. I don't say that specifically, but I'll let you make that comment. But for example, for the... Glory Wellington game last weekend, the league moved all the games to an hour earlier.
Is it to match your game?
Yes, but one game, the presidents of those clubs said, no, we're not moving our games. So they stayed, they still kicked up at 3 to finish at 5.
Perth Italia?
No, it wasn't actually. No, you've been out of the scene too long. You've been out of the state league for too long. No.
Western Knights?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Surprising. So, Jamo, I want to go back because last week it was all doom and gloom for City.
Yeah. And now it's back on.
And now
it's all on, isn't it? It's all on.
Not according to Roberto.
Right, no, not according to Roberto, but according to me.
He's taken
as an Everton fan, I can see us getting a result at Old Trafford.
I hope so.
It's game on it.
Well, it is then.
6-1. What a. Tevez?
Yeah, seriously. What's up with that? Like, I know he's coming back, but how do you feel about that? Like,
well, you can't argue with him.
No, I know, exactly. But you're going to go to the dump truck and get all the jerseys back out?
I've still got it. I should have worn it today, actually. And
we've talked about
the only thing less likely than him scoring a hat-trick would be Balotelli scoring 6.
Balotelli might score 6, though.
Yeah, I know.
On one day, he could, I think, sense of
twice. J-Mo.
Yeah, in the same game.
Which question do you want me to answer first?
Tevez,
from a Man City fan point of view, I would have preferred it if we sold him in January and we didn't have to go through all this. But we didn't. He came back, he apologised, he's played and scored.
He's playing well.
He's paying his wages. So, I mean, yeah, he's had a positive impact on the team. Yeah, we're disappointed. I mean, imagine where we would be if we would have been here from the start of the season. Could have been home and dry by now, but
hats off to Mancini though, to kind of all, like, orchestrate.
Yeah,
that
I was speaking to Kev on the way in this morning about Tevez's goal celebration when he scored his hat trick was mimicking a golf swing. So I would be interested to find out who he was aiming that at, whether it was at the City fans or was it the press, because the home game against West Brom, he was actually getting booed by some of the City fans. So it'd be interesting to find out if that was aimed at the press or he was aimed at the City fans. So.
No, he just seen Josh Mitchell's goal celebration against Wellington back in January, so he's trying to do a better one.
But I like.
You're just saying he's
going
to go.
Tell me what I do like.
Going back to you, Lee, with, in terms of the league being back on, it's
actually funny that he's
on. I said a few weeks back that there's no way United would win the last 14 games of the season, or they would win the last 13.
Didn't see it coming. You know. I know. I did text you.
Blackburn would get a point off them, but to lose it, Wigan.
Good
and deservedly so.
Good.
I think it's going to be more
consistent. The referee.
And what I do like.
9 minutes.
What I do like about City this year is. I'm not being biased, so I like before you have a go. Dalglish has been like a turd with the press. When the pressure's gone against him, he's not covered himself in glory. You've got to admit that.
Even no, that's the thing. I'd say he's like that all the time. Even when he's not under pressure, he's just had this thing that's been drilled into him is that he's seen so much shit that the press have written about Liverpool,
but,
Hillsborough, etc. Moving forward, he just doesn't want to give him anything. He's just like, this is the way I deal with my
ideas. But when I look at Dalglish after the game, he's like. It's not been the best, but Mancini's been pretty cool this season, which leads me to think they are going to keep him.
I think
he's doing a good job, and he doesn't look. He's not panicking. He's like, well, we've done better again this year.
When he brought Tevez on for the first time since his return,
that took some balls. That
sign was Mancini's on when Tevez was coming on. So that just goes to show that the fans are behind the manager and not necessarily supporting that player in particular. But yeah, I agree. Keep Mancini on. He's built some foundations there, and once the team develops again next season, we'll be playing even better, I think.
Let's not forget Fergie's started, man. Man, you in 86, so
yeah,
maybe
exactly,
just hang on to him.
We need that stability we've never had.
Yeah, we've got Chelsea, like I would say, Dalglish. Chelsea's getting rid of managers. Why only had 66 seasons?
Well, the reason why the reason why I'm saying that about Dalglish, Mike, is because this summer is.
No, don't mention it as well. We're not at Chelsea.
I think Liverpool should get rid of Dalglish this summer. Just because this summer's the last time that anyone can make major changes to the team.
Yeah.
Because of the financial fair play, so change of management and a change in player. But you know, look at Chelsea now. There's rumours going around that Abramovich has said, "Right, you've got 380 million. He's going to get
Chelsea
a manager.
380 million.
He's
going to
buy all the best young players.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, 380.
Because this is the last season before the
financial
fair play.
My theory behind Liverpool is that Dalglish is just. I don't see him being the next Liverpool manager for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
He's coming to the end of his career.
Do you think Dalglish is stuck in the 80s? Like he's an English manager of that time.
His role was to unify the club. That was the biggest thing.
Which is what
Hodgson, the old owners, the whole thing was get Dalglish in. Is this, you know, everybody loves him.
Stabilise
the club. And, you know, totally admittedly, this league form hasn't been the best at all. It's been horrendous at times. But we won the Carling Cup, we won the semi-final FA Cup last night, we won the final FA Cup, two cups in one season, possibly. You know, he's doing something right in certain ways, but he just needs to work with the players more, get a few more players who are a bit more skillful. There has been some bad signings, definitely has been for the money that was spent. However,
actually,
you just have
now
to.
You mentioned that.
Have you got something?
Yeah.
That's
you
he's got more pictures.
What have you got?
If you pull out that Gary Neville picture on
there. No. You told me the week and you kept saying net spend, net spend,
net spend.
I printed it out and be behind Chelsea and Man City, your third with $105 million net spend.
Is that including wages?
No, well, as in transfers.
Yeah, that's different word, but I wasn't talking about that.
Oh, fuck off.
That was
incredible.
I'm talking
transfer fees.
Grant, you've got to put that wrap up, because that's awesome.
It's all about paying.
Yeah, we'll put
Torres, $150,000 a week. And you get Andy Carroll
in. I'm taking the wages out. I've just brought wages into it.
Oh, first time you got involved, now you want to speak.
It's a podcast.
Let me put the point across then, guys. Net spend.
That's two spend jobs, I think.
What? The fucking canteen lady has more money than the Man City canteen lady.
It's over.
You like, you've got Donut King round with this.
Finished?
I'm on a
road. Finished now, enough.
Transfers.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've said we've had more money spent on players that aren't worth it. Definitely true.
Well,
what you've worked on is the 5-year plan.
of who's been signed, when, for what wages. That's the net spend across the club, it's not just purchases.
It's all right to sign bad players because you don't pay them that much.
That's what we're going to play into it. Right. The amount you spend, you should be walking.
Do we want to go through the list? Rocky Santa Cruz, Adebayor, all these players you've still got on your books.
Thank you for Adebayor, by the way.
You're not using it. You spent £750 million on transfer fees.
Actually, I want
which you're not using, and you've got to pay a club to get rid of
it. It's not me, personally.
You know?
Yeah, it's only,
I didn't make that up. I was just printing it off. Don't shoot the messenger.
I think this is a really interesting graph because
I'll bring the one next week that has the. Are you going to go
all the wages?
I've got it at home.
From everyone in the club?
No, the playing staff. Players.
No, I want even like admin
Shut
staff.
Shut up.
Laundry.
Well, I reckon this is an interesting graph because of the fact that it's got all the big teams, including Tottenham, Liverpool, Chelsea, and Arsenal, who are all vying for the Champions League positions. Arsenal are in negative. I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm just going to pull that out, by the way.
Is that it? Turning a profit on transfers.
That's just Wenger's always been. I'm not spending this on a player. I'm not spending it over.
Yeah, because he knows how much players are actually worth.
Exactly. He's kept his standards. Very admirable of him.
£20 million.
But the thing is, beginning of the season, everybody would have been, oh, he should have bought someone, he should have bought someone. Now you're doing brilliantly. It's like, oh, no, he's fine. He's done all right.
We're getting at 40 minutes, so we've got a few other people to talk to today.
But now we're going to go to the race to the Premier League. And we've got Steve from Brighton, who, the Brighton Supporters Club, Seagulls down there, who are going great guns. I must say, Steve, over the last, I reckon I'm wrong, you are 2 years?
We were.
You're still doing all right.
Well, we're doing.
But what I'm really impressed with you is you've got two fantastic
members.
Both. Two fantastic members. First being Leo Sayer.
Oh, Leo. Yeah.
Seen the pictures. Fat Boy Slim. Tell us about your club and tell us about. How did I see you with Fat Boy Slim 2 weeks ago? We're all right, lads.
Fat Boy Slim, for those that don't know, is an avid Albion fan. He sponsored the club for. Get off for about 10 years. If you saw the old shirts with the Skint logo across the front, Skint. All of you have got Fatboy Slim albums, go back and have a look. The back of it, it's got Skint. That's his record label.
So is it just if your shirt sponsor, you put money into the club in other ways?
He put money into the club as well, yeah.
Right, okay. He's on the board then, I take it. He's on the board directly.
No, he's not.
No?
Put money in, I think.
Just put your money in, yeah.
Yeah, he put money in.
It's not short of a quid.
Right, he's not sure.
Is he still shagging Tommy Ball?
On top of the rest of
them,
yeah.
Don't
we like to cover off on the topics.
How do you know this stuff? Why you?
She was going to leave.
Everyone. She was, and then she come back when he said, no, I'm definitely not skint. That's three today.
No, two.
No,
what
one.
Was shit?
One.
Two, right. One I'll give you two, Lee. I'll give you two.
No, no.
No, no chance.
Come on, sorry.
I mean, for those that don't know, to try and put this in perspective with what's happened with Brighton, and the way I try and explain it to people is that we had our ground sold from beneath us 14 years ago, right? What happened then was the ground was sold, we didn't have anywhere to play, and this is the way I try and explain it to people, especially the Australian guys in Sydney that are NRL, I don't know too much about football, but if you took, let's say, Manly, and you sold their ground, and you said to them, right, now you're now going to go and play all your home games at Newcastle, this is what we
did. It does happen.
Well, this is what happened to us. For 2 years, we had a 160-mile round trip for home games.
That's horrendous.
Right?
What's that in kilometres?
Eventually, a guy called Dick Knight came in, took over the club, and brought us back to Brighton. But we played in what was the old athletics, just a local athletic stadium. Any of you guys that have seen the British Open, you watch the British Open, you see them walk up the side of the 18th. All those stands up the side of the 18th, that was our main stand. Every year, that stand would go up at the Albion, and then it'd get dismantled at the end of every season, taken to the British Open, used up the side of the 18th, taken down again and put back into Brighton. And we went on with that for how many years? I mean, originally we only had a 6,000 capacity at that ground. went from 6,000. When we left it, we had 9,500 capacity.
So did that stadium sale come around because the owners had to sell it to keep funding the club?
They said the guy at the time was just a can't even go there. He's just
he's hated by every Albion fan.
What?
He's hated by every Albion fan. But his excuse
is Goldstone Ground.
Goldstone Ground. His excuse for selling the club was that if he didn't sell it or didn't sell the ground, there would be no club. Because we had to pay off the debts the club were in at the time. Now, he sold the ground, I think at the time from memory, or he sold the land for 7 million. He then went on and developed it and sold the development for an extra, another something like, I think it was 30 million or something. That profit never went back to the club. All the club got was the 7 million, the original, to pay off the club's debts.
Anyway, back to Fatboy Slim. How the fuck did you get to meet him?
It's a long story really, but cut it short.
Please cut it short.
We just went down to his gig at the Enmore. I went backstage to the stage door, asked the guy on the stage door whether he was there. I had been trying to get hold of him from various people involved with the club for about 3 months. Nothing ever came of it. I just took a chance, went down there, said to the guy, tell him that the guy that runs the Brighton Sports Club's outside. He came out, good as gold, took a photo, gave him the t-shirt. He sent me the email with the him wearing the club t-shirt.
Did he come out and meet you all?
Yeah, he came out. Nice. So,
are you going to go up this year?
I'm not going to go up. Do you know what? Going up is too early for us. We've come up as League One champions. We've moved into our new stadium, if you don't know. £128 million new stadium.
I watched the first game of the season here. Yeah. Played in it. Looks really good.
At the moment, the capacity is 22.5, which they had to do to get through the planning. Right? They wouldn't allow them any more than 22.5. They've just now put an extra application in within the first year, an extra 9,000 seats. The corners were never filled in. One of the main stands is not
like
the top
tier. It's like the
toast
tier. You don't want to go to the local coffee shop. Bastards, you don't want to do the toast. Can you put butter on it? Never do the corners. Like a lazy window cleaner.
I think we can all relate to that.
Okay, you did two good jokes, that one's completely.
Sorry. That wasn't
a joke. No, you've ruined it now. You've ruined your mantle now, mate. It's gone.
Anyway, no, we won't go up.
How much credit have you been getting?
Stoke's insane though. Stoke's not covered there, can't we yet?
Yeah. They're loud as fuck. They're really loud.
Yeah, but Stoke won't go up in the corners here.
No, they won't, because it's a fucking horrible place to go.
Yeah. I like the wind coming in, don't they?
They don't lose many home games, them boys.
So we've gone from a 9,000-seater stadium to a 22,500, of which 18,000 are season to get on.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's no A-League can compete with that, is there, Chris? I mean, be honest.
Richard would come close, but they'd be the only one.
Well, if that's a club on its...
Well, they start from
right
nothing,
on the brink.
Well, we're looking at sort of... we'd be looking at Westworld. No, let's look at... Melbourne Heart would have to basically triple its turnout, and its members by about 3 or 4 times to get even close to what Brighton's done.
We've missed out because of what's happened to the club. We've missed out on a whole generation of fans, and you used to go around Brighton, and apart from the like 4 or 5,000 hardcore Brighton fans, the older ones sort of gave up with it because we were playing in this athletic stadium. Didn't want to go out there. There was no seating. It was now with rain. You got soaked. So you used to walk around Brighton and you could see the Spurs, the Man United shirts, the Liverpool shirts, whatever, Everton. Now you walk around Brighton and it's just Brighton shirts everywhere you go. You hardly see. Because they've started to come back now, they realise, you know, now that missed generation started to come back. And even going into, I mean, I was back there, I went into the supporters' club shop. We've got two club shops, we've got one in the town and one at the ground. Went into the one at the ground, and I couldn't believe the amount of foreigners that were in there buying Brighton shirts.
Scousers.
You're trying to redeem yourself now, aren't you? Yeah. I've watched you then, a bit little smile on your face, like a 12-year-old kid.
We've got one back.
Steve, from your opinion, having watched the championship this year, who do you think is going to go up?
Well, it's going to be Southampton. Reading. I think Reading.
Reading looking really good at the moment.
Reading got on a big a role. I mean, when you think where Reading were, when we were, after about 10 weeks, we were top of the league.
Yeah.
Reading were probably third or fourth from bottom.
Yeah, they've just steadily.
They've just gone.
They won like nine straight away games, haven't they?
They did get some good signings.
Reading and Southampton.
Fantastic.
But I don't know.
Well, Sam only 3 points behind them, though.
I was actually going to say, I think West Ham might bottle it going into the playoffs. But then after this last week and then last night.
Well, they've gambled a bit.
They scored four last week and then six last night. They're gone, but guns blazing.
The amount of money that they've invested, they're taking a gamble on. If they don't get up this year, West Ham, they could be in a lot of trouble.
And I'm listening to podcasts from over in the UK, and there's people saying that West Ham, the atmosphere at Upton Park is terrible.
It is.
They absolutely can't stand it.
Yeah, it is. It's always been like that.
But I mean, even more than usual.
With the Olympic Stadium, that's an interesting question, because West Ham have got rights to the Olympic Stadium, so it's all been agreed. However, that was agreed with the Premier League. Now, Leighton Orient have come in and said it's an infringement of trade on Leighton Orient. And they've gone to the Football Association to say, you can't infringe on our trade because they're now part of the Football League, not the Premier League. So if West Ham don't get promoted this year, West Ham will not get, will have a very strong fighting hand not to get the Olympic Stadium.
The Olympic Stadium's crap, but anyway, they have to sign the thing.
Yeah, it's more than some of the Premier League.
They had to sign the agreement for the stadium with the athletic track around it, which is going to be an absolute shite atmosphere anyway.
It'll work out.
We know miles away.
All right, moving on very quickly, because we have to. Johnny, Gillingham, 3-0 last night, we're off to it. Not going to make the playoffs. Ninth. Yeah, start of the day.
On this day, it was
yesterday.
Yesterday, they beat
Torquay 2-1. All
right,
that's the job.
On what year?
We got a year.
It's a Donny 51.
I've got some on this day. On this day today, facts for Gillingham.
Have you got some on this day?
Gillingham. I've got some on this day. If it was today.
He's got a name.
Johnny's trying to steal your job.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
What have you got? Come on.
On the 15th of April 2000, they beat Wigan 2-1 at home.
Oh,
you're slipping, Johnny.
On a Lewis and Lewis with a score of 7,746.
Johnny, NRL.
Google doesn't know what's going on.
NRL.
What do you want to know?
What's happening this week? My tips have been blown.
Rabbitohs at Belder today. Currently 18-all on Parramatta Eels. Quite short stuff for Cowboys.
22.
Did you see me that last night? Got 50 past the Roosters last night.
Got it.
Titans and Manly.
That's because they're all playing their home game in Darwin.
But what about the
Rabbitohs got belted?
Kangaroos and Kiwis next week?
Big rumour, or slight rumour actually, I heard it from one person.
Both
teams are going to pick Josh Hoffman to force his card to see who he's going to play for, because he's both qualifies for both teams. And Wood is also, Australia's going to pick James Tannell, because he's declared his allegiance to Australia, the big Kiwi fella playing for the Titans.
Excellent.
So we'll see what happens. The City Country next week. Origin spots up for grabs.
I can't wait.
Much better than
I've got the tickets for Melbourne and for Sydney.
All right, well, it's been
not new rules. Just going to actually abide by them for once.
Where you play your junior footy, that's where you get your own. That's where you go to Origin.
It's where you play,
not where you want to go.
It's where you play your first league after the age of 16. Which is a silly rule.
Greg Inglis.
All right, well, we're going to have to start wrapping up. So
yeah.
Thanks everyone for coming. It's been a bit of a. We'll do a proper FA Cup special for you, Matt.
I just know if it was another way around, it'd be on the top of the list. It would have been in bold capital letters in red.
J-Mo, last week, remember, did I cut Man City stuff out?
Yeah.
Out of respect.
Still talking.
You know what I mean? It's been a bit of an up and down sort of show today. Happy stuff and shy stuff.
Can I have a special mention?
As in your jokes.
Johnny's got a special mention.
Special mention for The Undertaker, whose WrestleMania streak remains intact. He beat Triple H.
For what?
WrestleMania, steel cage match.
Dead.
That was like, that was 3 weeks ago, Johnny.
Yeah, no, it's late in the
take. I've got two, you can't kill him, he's immortal. Right? I've got two great points, right? Next week, the 12th of April, it's the Lingerie Football League. It's coming to Australia.
Oh, yeah. April. That was last week.
No, so, yeah. I need to work out.
And it's your company promoting this.
No.
That's Perth time.
Oh, well done, Jane. Brilliant, Jane. Putting that one in.
Second point.
15th of April, Lingerie Football League is coming over, so I think we should get tickets
and do a
report. I will do a report on it. I'm going to go. Me and Jamie will do the report.
Make some tissues.
Also, we brought Aqua out, and we're always joking about, we're now bringing Hanson out. They've sold out. We've sold out every show in 2 hours across Australia. But I'm just put on 3 extra shows in each city.
What type of venues are they playing?
The Hi-Fi across Brisbane and Sydney. In Melbourne, it's the
Three Wise Monkeys. No, bring a whistle.
No, mate. Sold out. Massive shows. It's going to be ace.
Of course.
I'll do a report on Hanson for you.
On a slightly more serious note, just for any Jets fans that aren't aware. Any Jets fans that aren't aware, there is.
Get it over. Me.
Just let him say it, otherwise we're going to pick CD.
Are you finished?
Yeah.
There is a supporters rally at the stadium this Friday, the 20th, between 3 and 7, to show the FFA and Hunter Sports Group that we still want a club in our town, no matter what they're going to do to fight each other about it.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right. Excellent. All right. That's it. We're done. It's gone too far. There's too many people here. All right. Thank you very much. to Cheers Group, thank you very much for Miller for supplying the alcohol to everyone today. And that's it, that's episode 18 done. Have a good one. Bye.
See ya. Thank you.